Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, on this podcast, we often talk about the customer experience and providing a frictionless experience for them. And when we typically talk about that, we're talking about the everyday consumer. But what about the customer experience for B2B businesses where the 80-20 rule typically applies, where 80% of your sales or revenue comes from 20% of your clients? So what about their experience? Does your organization really know what your clients think of your product? Now, you might be thinking to yourself that, well, we've got a sales force and we've got a customer service team and they report all good things. But the question you might need to ask yourself is, are they really talking to the end user? And is the data that they're collecting really the right data? Or are you simply just drinking your own Kool-Aid? So on today's episode, I'm talking with Pete Revel, who is the director of the primary data services at Mercator Advisor Group. And I'm going to be getting his thoughts on how B2B organizations can better determine if they're missing the mark with some of their clients and having the potential to lose millions of dollars from an angry or frustrated client. So there's certainly a lot to talk about on today's episode. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So, Pete, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. So I wanted to take today's conversation of a little bit of a B2B focus for this. Now, I know Mercator Advisor Groups works with a lot of payments industry players that are focused on B2B and sell to other businesses. And obviously, their pool of people that they're selling to is relatively small, but the dollar amount that they have is relatively high, sometimes in the millions there. And I know, given everything that's going on, particularly with COVID and just the changing industry, it really kind of becomes vitally important for those people that are selling to other businesses to make sure that there's really not a disconnect between the products and services that they're offering and what their client end needs are. And I know Mercator has helped a lot of our clients, particularly with this kind of problem here. So perhaps maybe you could kind of break down what Mercator has done in the industry to kind of really help those clients to be able to recognize if there is any disconnect and where it is that they should pivot to.
Thanks, Ryan. I think what's important to understand that in the type of program that we're talking about today is there are a lot of our clients and companies in the payment space who, as you said, have maybe a small number of clients who represent a very large proportion of their revenue. Or in another case, they have a lot of clients, but only a select number of them represent the bulk of the revenue. So our feeling is that it's imperative for an organization to have their finger on the pulse of these people. And by that, I mean, how do these people feel about your organization when it comes to sort of the key aspects of client servicing, which is your product, the service you deliver with your product, and the value they're receiving for the money that they pay? It's been pretty widely published that, you know, the cost of acquisition is 5 to 7 times the cost of retention. So simply from a financial standpoint, it makes a lot of sense to focus on keeping your customers happy and retaining them than trying to go out and get a new customer. To this, we have developed a program that what we call sort of listening to the customer in the wild. And by that, we mean a listening program that is based upon frequent surveys and conversations with your customers, your key accounts, but they're independent of the sales force and independent of any internal feedback that you might get from your sales team or your customer service. Why that's important is we find that information that comes from the sales force or from the customer service team or others within your organization tends to be anecdotal and not necessarily reflect the entire population of your customer base. We also find that because of that, oftentimes the more vocal clients may be impacting change that isn't necessarily relevant or beneficial to your other clients, sort of the squeaky in the grease kind of thing. So with our program, we have built a high-touch survey program where we speak to not only the person who signed your contract or manages the day-to-day relationship with your com- with your company, but we also talk to individuals who have some sort of interaction with your company, not just senior executives. It could be people in product. It could be people in IT. It could be people in quality control. So what we try to do is get a multifunctional view of your customers' satisfaction with products and services that your organization is delivering, and tie that all into what is their perceived value relative to what they pay for your organization. What is their perceived value? By having multiple touch points, we eliminate sort of the aforementioned squeaky wheel getting the grease kind of situation that anecdotal evidence often gives people. So with something like this, we work with an organization to understand what the key touch points are, who those people are, develop a process by which we can reach out to these people and talk to them. And everything is custom in this part of a program like this, because, you know, based upon your organization, the number of people you want to talk to, the level of the people you want to talk to, you may say, we feel that you have to contact these people by phone. By the same token, you may have a broader customer base or a customer base that isn't, you know, all that comfortable or willing to jump on the phone. We can then send them an email inviting them to take the survey online. However we survey them, it's designed to be the most effective and most efficient way to gather the information. Once the information is gathered, we build a reporting process by which we can look at your overall performance, your performance by company. Because we're doing a multifunctional study, we can also look at your company's performance by function. So let's say we could compare how finance people view your organization versus the marketing people. So that gives us all the flexibility that you need to really do an in-depth understanding of what the customers want and need. We can also, by doing this, identify areas for opportunity. And by that, I mean, if you are not performing well on a particular service, a particular aspect, or within a particular group of people, like we talked about earlier, we can identify that and come up with ideas collectively on the best way to rectify those situations.
SNLP, I'm glad that you kind of talked about the program itself, but what I'm really kind of curious about is, what does the final delivery of this program really look like? So somebody who purchases this program, what essentially is it that they're going to be getting out from this as a final delivery?
So when all of this is said and done, what I think what we ultimately come up with is a 360-degree view of your organization based upon your most important customer feedback. And that's very important, because if you don't know where you stand with the people who are providing you most of your revenue, you're really, really at a disadvantage.
No, I think for this next question, I think we've kind of covered off on a couple of these things, but I'd really kind of like to drive it home in terms of the benefits of doing a program like this. So perhaps maybe you could kind of dive into a little bit deeper of what those benefits are.
So some of the benefits that clients have found in the past in doing programs like this, it's an early warning system for accounts in jeopardy. Well, I was running a program for a consultancy arm of a large company, and we were able to identify some very dissatisfied clients who were ready to move their business to another client. But based upon the survey results, based upon us getting to the sponsor of the survey, our client, and saying, hey, you've got a problem here, they were able to put in place a series of initiatives that actually saved that client. They actually developed what they called a SWAT team that went in, evaluated the problems, went in, met with the client, rectified or ameliorated some of those problems, and was then that they were able to save the client.
Now, Pete, I know that you've done many programs like this before, and I'm kind of curious, is there any kind of common threads or themes that you see throughout all of these types of programs that you've done in the past?
You know, many times when I've done feedback programs like this, I come to realize that companies are either in two camps. Either they overestimate how much their clients love them, or they underestimate how their clients feel about them. And what a program like this does is it gives you real hard data to understand where you fit and how satisfied your customers are with the level of service and the quality of the product that you're delivering to them. Beauty of a program like this is also its diagnostic capabilities. With a program like this, you can start to peel back the layers and understand where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, where your opportunities are for bettering the business and strengthening the relationship. And I can't stress enough, you know, the stronger your relationship, the stickier the relationship is, the better it is for your organization. I mean, I think there are a number of other real positives to developing a feedback program like this, not the least of which is just that it forces an organization to really take a long, hard look at themselves and the way they service their clients.
Yeah, okay. A couple of things that, you know, I kind of want to bring up just because listening to that there. I mean, obviously, I think it's fantastic that Mercator is really kind of saying, well, okay, like it's fantastic that your sales force or your client service team is obviously talking with a client. But a couple of things there, and I think that you brought up there, like those individuals may not be the end user of your product. You know, within many organizations, it's kind of, hey, here's the purchasing department, or here's the person who is the signer of it. That's the person who's the day-to-day, but they're not the person that's actually implementing and using that product and service on a day-to-day basis. And those individuals may look at the program and go, hey, that's great. Thank you, organization, for getting us this, but it doesn't exactly fit the needs that we have. And ultimately, it could just be a couple of small tweaks or refinements or just better education around the product that really kind of gets those end users to kind of be the champion of that product and kind of roll up the positive feedback to the rest of the team. You know, I always think it's kind of funny because as the saying goes, like, you know, nobody's going to say that you're ugly to your face. Right. So when it's your Salesforce team saying, hey, how do you guys like the product? You might not necessarily get an honest feedback. You might get the, oh, yeah, you know, it works well within our organization. It's good. It's great. You know, it does the things that we need it to do. But is that really true, honest feedback? And, you know, kind of feedback like that doesn't help the organization itself grow and kind of become better, and also kind of in a way also future-proof, because the people that are using it on the ground level are the people that are dealing with the problems on the day-to-day basis that your product is supposed to be solving for. So they may be seeing things like, hey, yes, this worked at the time that we bought it, but now we're experiencing XYZ things, which also gives the opportunity for upsell as well too. But unless you, to your point, Pete, unless you know what those things are, you can't make the changes to it. And kind of having that third party come into there and say, hey, look, you know, we don't have a bias one way or the other. We just want to get straight information from the people that use this, the people that bought this, kind of the whole organization, anybody that has a touch point with this particular product or service that your organization is offering. We want to know direct feedback with that, so that way then we can relay it back and kind of go through that development process there. So I think it's certainly very interesting in terms of just, you know, kind of the eye opening of, hey, look, like it really might want to be the survey is something that you want a third party to take a look at instead of having your own internal team possibly take on that process.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think we can't stress it enough. The benefit of having an independent third-party evaluator, data gatherer and evaluator, is critical here, right? And as you said, nobody wants to say you're ugly to your face. But if somebody comes and asks you, somebody else comes and asks you what you think of me, you'll say Pete's ugly. So that's very important. And you also brought up a really another point that I know I brought up, but I want to stress. When I talk about multiple parties with surveying multiple parties within an organization, that's really important because think about, for example, how many times does somebody in an accounts payable department get asked, hey, how are we to deal with? You know, or how is client company, how are they to deal with? Or a compliance department who gets notifications of things they have to do. How's our documentation? You know, those are sort of the, in a very large relationship, those are some of the people that get missed out. But at the end of the day, they may have a lot to say about your organization, positively or negatively. And, you know, when time comes from contract renewal, those people may have a voice. So it's very important that you talk to these people. And I can't stress enough, it's not talking to the president of the company. I mean, if he's not going to hear about the problems. Problems don't boil up to the C-suite. And if they do, they're more than problems. You know, it's getting the people who deal with your products and services on a daily basis. I've done programs like this where we've actually done journey map and understood where each and every single one of these of my client company's contact points are, and who are people who are getting impacted by my company, and what's their sphere of influence within their company. So, you know, I think you the two points you brought up are really, really important. The idea of independence to get an unvarnished view of reality. And also the idea of talking to multiple contacts within an organization to get their feedback.
Yeah, I feel like it really kind of boils down to, like, you don't know what you don't know. And to kind of quote G.I. Joe here, you know, knowing really is half the battle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, one of the things where survey of this, I've seen surveys like this be used, is when it comes time to renegotiate a contract. If you can go in when renegotiation time and says, here, I don't know if you know this, but we interviewed 12 people within your organization in the past 12 months, and they're all happy and say we're doing a great job on, you know, delivering on time and providing, you know, product updates at the right time and et cetera, et cetera. That's a really valuable tool. Because if you can say to these people, you know, we have an established relationship, it's powerful, and here, people are happy with it. Or we understood you had some problems in these areas, and here's what we've done to fix them. You're showing your level of commitment to that organization by simply listening. And, you know, I can't stress enough, you know, I'm a firm believer in this program because I've seen it work on so many different levels.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, right? Because it really speaks to the word partnership, right? It's not just a simple transaction. It's not just, hey, you're buying a product or service from us here. It really then boils down to, no, this is a true partnership. Not only is it that, yes, we're providing you with that product and service, but we're going to go the next level and continuously update it and make sure that on a day-to-day basis, this meets the needs with every single user across this product, and it removes just kind of that. It makes it less of a transactional process and more of a partnership there. But I kind of want to take a little bit of a step back here, if we could, because you know, we talked about kind of just in the B2B realm where it's kind of, hey, I've got a limited number of clients that are providing a large percentage of the revenue here. But what about some organizations that have a wider customer base here for it? You know, what does this program kind of really work for that? I assume it would just kind of be a scale thing, but I'd love to get your input on that.
Yeah, it is a scale thing. And what we would do with a program of that nature is, again, survey people in the best way that we can survey them, in the quite frankly, the most financially amenable way to do so. And then we can gather, collect, analyze, and produce results that do largely the same thing. They may not be as focused as to an individual customer because the scale doesn't work at that point, right? But we can still do something that gives you a very good view of where you stand with your customers. The critical to the success of a program like this is many companies like to put these in place and they succeed or they don't succeed based upon the level of senior management commitment. If senior management is committed to their customer and to understanding how their performance is relative to their customers in real time, in the real world, as opposed to some of the anecdotal things we discussed earlier, you'll have a successful program. If, quite frankly, if their heart's not in it and their willingness to react and respond to what you hear back, because some of it's not going to be nice, I guarantee you, then you're in for a tough go, because you really need senior management to be completely bought in and willing to put in the effort needed to make something like this a success.
Yeah, well, it always really kind of goes back to you get into it, what you get out of it, what you put into it.
Clearly.
All right, Pete. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan.